Tuesday edition of the Halifax Daily News with Jamie and Lisa and, boy, Jamie, Harv, and Lisa.
Back once again, and we got a welcome to the Beaver Bank bunker, Harv Stewart.
Like, I'm the monkey in the middle here. It's great. It's nice to be back.
Hey. So what else is new?
No, it's nice to be here with you guys. We had so much fun when we worked together a few years ago, and this is a sort of a remembrance and coming back a little bit. And we're going to talk about Sportsland a bit today, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely.
Some other stuff as
but be careful. You have your biggest fan here right at your lap, Dexter. Last time we were talking about Sportsland coming to an end, and Dexter really got upset last podcast.
Oh, Dex is okay. He's cool. How you doing, buddy?
So, yeah, Harv Sportsland on Eastlink. It has been one of the major shows for 20 years, and
pretty cool.
You're wow. Pulling the pin.
Yeah, it's, you know, I sort of thought it was time to say goodbye after 20 years. We had a lot of fun with the show and different formats and different stages of it, but I thought it was time for me to leave, and they thought, okay, well, we may do something else. They more or less... Brett Smith and all the people over there have been nothing but nice to me over the years. They've been great.
They're shutting down the whole station, aren't they?
No.
Harv's leaving. That's it, everybody.
No, that little Mooseheads and Quebec Junior League thing.
That's going to keep them on the air, is it?
And the AUS stuff that they do. A lot of sports stuff. But, they do a lot of documentaries now, which are very good. And a lot of Eastlink TV is very, very good.
But, I mean, that said, you can't have a Harv Sportsland without the Harv.
Well, last few years it's just been Sportsland, but that's fine. And it's been so much fun. We started with a little two-man sort of interview show with AJ,
Harv and Company.
That's right.
But remember that? I've sort of been the link throughout the entire 20 years where I've been there the whole time. But
the Iron Man of cable television.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Iron Man. No, well, not exactly like, cooking with Joan or whatever, but Joan McCallman's been around Eastlink for, 33 years or something.
I don't think she'd appreciate being called an Iron Man, though.
No.
Iron Chef, maybe.
But... Iron Skillet, whatever, but that's cool. But,
so is AJ coming back for the final show?
We had him on, actually, this week on Monday night. We had a segment with him, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He was in Liverpool.
He started a radio station in Liverpool,
yes,
right?
He sort of semi-retired. He does a... Of course, AJ could never stay still, so he's involved in all sorts of things. But he had a lot of fun over his years with us, and he just thought it was time to pull the pin after 7 years. And he said, look, kid, take it on. Just go for it. And I sort of did, and we went from there. So then we added people like Brad McCon was with us for a number of years, of course.
Yes.
And then, of course, Cecil Wright became a lightning rod for
– people would tune in just to see what jersey he'd be wearing.
Yeah. Thinking back 20 years, what are some of the highlights of the show for you?
Oh, where do you start?
Start with me when I was a guest.
Well, yeah, you actually co-hosted with us a couple of times.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. But the absolute, it was one of the best moments on the show is when we had Leslie Nielsen come to town.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing Men with Brooms, and they had a big premiere at the Oxford Theater in Halifax.
That's right. Yep.
And the whole crew was there. It was fantastic. Paul Gross, all the female leads, and everybody was there.
Paul Gross, who ended up being a drunken lech, if I'm not mistaken.
He had a couple beer.
Had a couple beer and was chasing some serious skirts while he was in town.
He was doing some of that. I guess he wasn't married at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
And, he was an attractive man. But the whole thing was really funny.
He was chasing women. Harv was chasing him.
No, I was not.
He was an attractive man in a non-homosexual way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're taking the gloves off now, right? But it was really funny because they had all these makeup people, and somebody have a hair out of place, and these makeup and hair people come over and fix them up and all this.
They also did an interview junket earlier in the day at a curling rink. I'm trying to remember
that's
what curling
where you and
the
I
Mayflower,
were.
Mayflower, wasn't it?
Yeah,
at
was
the
it
Mayflower?
Mayflower.
Yeah, so you and I and Brad McCon, McCon fixed us up with these ugly, ugly curling sweaters.
Or was circa that 1932.
Oh,
no, they weren't me, no.
Well, it matched your corn broom that was circa 1972.
Yeah, we had a corn broom. We've got a picture of all this, which is absolutely super. Anyway, so Nielsen comes along, and he's doing the interview with us, and he's just totally funny. And then out comes his fart machine.
His whoopee cushion, that's right.
It's an actual fart machine.
No, that's right. Yeah, the handheld ones.
It fits in the palm of his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's notorious for bringing this on to talk shows. He was on The Tonight Show, he brought it. And
oh, yes.
He does it in such a way that you're more embarrassed than he is.
Because
he'll just pretend he's letting it slip and keep the straightest face you could imagine.
He's got a poker face. I mean, the guy was a Shakespearean actor.
He was one of a kind. My God. he is
funny.
Missed. He is missed.
But
he and his fart machine are missed.
That's right.
They are. But to top it off, I'm on the phone trying to get a ride from my ex-wife at the time, and or you know, whatever.
She's still your ex-wife at this time.
But anyway,
she was your wife at the time. Right?
Yes, my wife at the time. But so I phone her up and blah blah, and you're going to pick me up at the curling club, and all of a sudden Leslie comes over, and I got my cell phone, and he says, "Here, can I get on the phone? Is that's your wife, right?" I said, "Yeah." He gets on the phone with her, and he says, "You're Lisa, right? Yeah, okay. Well, everything's ready. We're all set. 10 o'clock, you come to the room and we'll have the food come up later." And and he hands me back the phone.
Oh,
of
God.
Course, Lisa gets on the phone, and what the hell was that?
But she showed up at 10 o'clock like she was
asked.
Right.
No, she picked me up, and that was the end of it.
God, how old of a man would he have been then?
Oh, he was 75.
I was just going to say, he was in his mid-70s, wasn't he?
He was mid-70s.
Wow.
And here's a little secret. He had a hearing aid.
Yes, he did.
Or did he have two hearing aids? They were the kind that were really deep. I was just right beside him, and I could look right in and go, there's no hole there. Hang on. Something's in there.
No, his hearing was off.
Yeah.
No, there's a number of stories. Well, one time we, of course, you don't have a seven-second delay. I guess we do now, but we didn't at the time.
No. And, you never have the seven-second delay until you need it.
That's right. That's true.
But until after you need
that's
it.
Right.
But we were always really careful about it, and the callers were really respectful for the most part. First time we ever had an issue was an interview with Eddie Shack. Eddie Shack. We did it at the Metro Center.
He's as pure as the driven snow.
Oh, he's just a beauty. He was just a beauty. I think he was, you know, kind of in the cups a little bit. Had a few pops or whatever. It's like 8 o'clock at night. So anyway, he gets on the phone with us and ends up saying shit 4 times. So
in a row, or did he weave it into the conversation?
No, he weaved it into the conversation. Okay, now, somebody back at the control room is getting apoplectic about this, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But we sort of just let it go, and away we went. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't even give it a second thought.
Well, you know, when that stuff happens, that's the best way to handle it, I've found.
Oh, absolutely.
You just roll on, don't even acknowledge it, and,
that's right.
And just pray to God that nobody else does either.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple of issues with callers later on, too, where somebody said that certain word.
You can say it here, Harv.
Not that word. No.
The F-bomb?
Yeah, the bomb. Okay. You know, somebody said something like, whatever, Cecil.
It slips out.
Yeah.
Or you, Cecil, you know, and we just let it go. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
You have to.
Then there was the nosebleed situation.
Who?
I had a nosebleed one time on the air.
On the air?
Yeah, it's a live show, right? So, Alex J. Walling's there.
Like one pouring out? Or
oh,
like...
yeah. Oh, it was guzzling.
Was there any sort of trauma involved? Did you hit
No, I didn't hit my head or anything. No, not this time.
Just start.
Maybe childhood trauma coming back to haunt you.
What happened was, so somebody in a control room says, you got to get him off the set. So, sure, after the first 15 minutes, like
Monty Python skit.
Oh, it was just crazy. I'm dabbing at it. I'm trying to keep it from getting worse and blah, blah, blah. It's just horrible. So Alex J. is there with us that day.
Right.
So he fills in for 15 minutes, and I'm offset on a couch, lying on my back with my head hanging over the couch, right? So at some point, oh, yeah, it's okay, but I had this, well, I didn't put the Kleenex over the nose or anything like that. But
that, now that would have been funny.
That was bad. But
that was before the days of YouTube as well. Because that would have gone viral, Harv.
Then there was another time I had a coughing fit and I couldn't stop coughing. This is a live show. I couldn't stop it. And you know, it was water or something and got chugged in my throat.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't stop coughing. And Cecil thought it was, you know, he thought I was dying. So we got through it, but it was 15 minutes, solid minutes of this.
Good Lord.
You know, you do. Yeah. Oh, boy. The Leafs in half. But you know what? Over the years, we had such tremendous guests and such great treatment from the community. People really, really got behind the show, and we had good callers and you know, AUS coaches and players.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Mooseheads were great with us, too. And
right.
Whoever, anybody in minor sports, if there was something coming up, it was really good. If we had something going on in town, we interviewed a bunch of people from the Kings Meadow.
Right.
Dinner and all that over the years.
You know, that was one of the great things, or is one of the great things about the show, is that it's been on for so long, and you guys cover a lot of the minor sports. So
yes,
you have seen a lot of today's superstars from the very beginning.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
I mean, you were the one who introduced us to Sidney Crosby. You were the one...
14 years old.
Who sort of said... He was, part of the Dartmouth Subways at that point?
Yeah.
And said, watch this kid. He's going places. Yeah. And you brought him into the control room with his parents that day.
I believe I did. That was he was 13 or 14 at the time. Yeah. And I got to actually...
We're gonna put that picture on the website.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
At jamieandlisa.ca.
Yeah. Yes, I've got that.
That was his very first radio interview, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was. Yeah. And later on, I got to interview him a couple other times. Actually, in Pittsburgh one time. And I took a tape recorder and... I ended up using it on Q104.
Mm. Right.
But he was terrific. I mean, he was a kid. I go down there to the dressing room. He's talking to American reporters, and he looks over and he waves at me because he had met me before.
Sure.
And then he gets rid of them and stuff. He says, "Hey, Harv, how you doing, man? What's going on?"
The Nova Scotia coming out.
All he wanted to do was talk about home, basically, because it was nice to have somebody at home, right? So what he did was we sat in the stands, after the practice and all that, for 30 minutes. And all we did was talk about sports and whatever. But we got the interview in, did all sorts of stuff. And he says, you went to see Aerosmith. He said, I've only been to one rock concert.
realize what a tender age he still was at that time.
He was
time,
only 18 at the time, right? Wow. So he was going to go see a big country show in Pittsburgh. They were going to get a backstage pass. So, I said to Sid, Sid, I've seen kind of hundreds of shows. he laughed. It was great. But he was such a friendly kid, and it's he was only 18 at the time, but he's got this entourage now. It's sort of hard to get to talk to him now. Right. But
sure.
If I had a chance to do it again, I would love to. I've interviewed him for I was doing a thing on Alliant.net. Mm-hmm. did an interview, and I wrote a piece, and it was really pretty well.
Well, the thing about him is that he comes from good stock.
Oh, he does.
His parents.
Even back when we interviewed him at 14 years of age, his parents, they showed up there with him, and they had to make sure that everything was all right and that we weren't going to give him a hard time.
Or show him up or give him a... No, we weren't going to give a 13-year-old kid a hard time.
No, but, if he turned 16, that's a different story.
Mm. No, it's not going to happen. But, there's a Nathan McKinnon's. There's, Jean-Sébastien Giguère was in with us a bunch of times. He's going to retire probably this year.
Really?
Stanley Cup winning goaltender, Conn Smythe winner. Mm-hmm. Jody Shelley. It was one of my personal favorites. We had him in a couple of times. He was great. Mm. But he is now... Guess what he's doing now? Do you have any idea?
It would have to be either hockey or fight related.
No, it's hockey related. He is a host on the Columbus Blue Jackets TV broadcasts.
Really?
He's terrific.
So is he retired from the game? He did retire.
He had a niner, for a guy with limited sort of talent and skating ability, but had an NHL career of 10 years, made a lot of money, I'm sure. He's doing very well right now, but he's really poised. He's really funny, and he's good on the show. He's great. I was so totally surprised because he was kind of shy and, a big kid from Yarmouth and all that kind of stuff. But man, did he ever blossom over the years. And he was a big, big crowd favorite in Columbus. So he was welcomed back, I guess, to them with open arms, and the organization hired him. And I guess through the TV network or whatever there.
Right.
But he's doing great.
Just thought I'd point out, I'm looking at this picture right now of us with Sidney Crosby back when he was 14.
Yes.
He looks a lot older now. All three of us look a lot younger than we did back then.
Isn't
you notice
that amazing?
We've lost weight. We look 20 years younger. For those of you using your imagination, when you look at the picture, just imagine three much younger looking people.
Yeah, sure. It's a Wayback Machine, right?
Perfect.
In reverse.
Now, thinking back on the show, who were some of the more difficult people that you had to deal with?
Oh, we had wrestlers on one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if it was real or not, but they started to get into a scuffle, and we got into the middle of this. We almost had to shut the thing down.
Mm.
And apparently, there was a guy outside the door outside the door of the station, and somebody reported that they had a gun or something, and the police showed up, and blah, 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 blah. There's been a couple of people I've talked to over the years who were a little bit difficult, and
one-word answers, that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Dennis Rodman was disgusting.
I was just about to bring that up when Dennis Rodman, was it Kings Meadow that he was in town
for?
Yes,
he was in town for that. He shows up at the news conference about 10, 15 minutes late, which is fine. There's no big deal with that. He sits there. One word answers. He's drunk, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm. Sunglasses, the whole thing. Says very little. Was really kind of rude to everybody, the media people. But then he shows up at the dinner and starts, he starts with the expletives and stuff, and this is a family show, right?
I was at the dinner. I remember it very well. Yeah.
Oh, you were at the Rodman deal?
Yeah.
Well, you can tell me. I wasn't at the actual dinner, but I guess he was really rude and awful with kids in the audience, and it was a mixed crowd and all that.
He told a story and started crying in the middle of it because it was this emotional story, which is fine if somebody's doing if there's a point to it.
Sure.
And then he just kind of drifted off and rambled on about something else. And people are looking at their watches going, okay, take the microphone away from him. It was embarrassing.
It's really sad and embarrassing.
Afterwards, I went back because I was there to take pictures for the Daily News back at the time.
Oh, right on. Yeah, yeah.
And course. I said, hey, Dennis, Mr. Rodman, I was wondering if I could just take a quick picture. He was reclining on this chair. Just a huge, huge man.
Oh, he's 6'7".
Oh, but his hands were so big. I mean, everything was so big. And he just looked at me and goes, no.
Oh, I know. Rude.
I don't want you to do that, and I want you to leave. He was drinking red wine out of the bottle, and he had.
Oh, no.
There were two.
Oh, really?
There were two bottles beside him that were empty. He was on the third, and this is after he had made that embarrassing thing. I thought, okay, this guy is a train wreck. He's frightening. Like, I was legitimately scared in that room with.
Well,
that
you
man.
get the hell out of there, and you know, he was in North Korea and fell apart at that news conference with all those players that he had brought over and whatnot. He was an embarrassment, but he you know, it's unfortunate. He's a sick man. He needs help, but he goes to it once in a while. He's in and out of rehab. He's this and that, but he's
on the mend now, though, isn't he? From what I hear, or?
Well, I don't know. He still likes his B&B, you know, booze and broads.
And it's B&B,
it's B square,
and his Kim Jongs. He loves those guys.
He loves the
Ill and Ung and all of them.
Ill and Ung and yeah.
Oh, God.
But just horrible. That was the worst experience I think I've ever had. One of them. It's right up there.
Yeah. And so was he on the show, or were you trying to interview him?
We were trying to interview him. I couldn't even put the tape on the air. There was nothing to do.
Yeah.
I couldn't use it.
It wasn't salvageable.
No. Some of the other guys are terrific, but, you know, it was awful.
Well, it looks like our little interview with Harv Stewart took a lot more time.
And a lot more beer.
Yeah, than we originally thought. So,
and there are a lot more stories yet to be told.
So what we're going to do is, this is the end of part one. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear part two of our interview with Harv Stewart, we're going to run that next week. Don't forget, Sportsland is down to its final 3 weeks. So
That's
make sure
right.
you tune in. It's Monday nights on Eastlink Television. And make sure you come back here if you want to hear some more stories of Harv. We talked about our days together at Q104.
Yeah, we're going to touch on some of those stories that have yet to be told.
And find out more about what makes Harv Stewart, Harv Stewart.
The man, the myth.
Soon to be the motion picture. And we have a lot more news to talk about, and
we
will get to that tomorrow.
Until then.